The songs that you picked, they're so encouraging, you know what I mean, remembering Jesus strong and kind and what a friend we have in Christ. And when we sing songs in corporate worship, it's so special, ladies. I'm so encouraged by the words. Okay. Oh, it's back again. Is that better? All right, let's play with this a little bit. How's that? Okay. Well, if I turn my head and mess this up. So I'm going to talk to this side of the room today. And then we'll go like this. Sorry, ladies. Okay. So, but just, you know, the songs are encouraging. So when you sing these songs, ladies, look at those words and sing to God and rejoice in the amazing love that we have and the truths that we have. We can sing these songs because we know these truths in our hearts. So thank you again for picking these perfect songs, perfect songs. The gift of encouragement, exhortation. As I was putting this, my other two eyes. Okay. As I was putting this lesson together, I found myself pondering on the Apostle Paul's journey that we hear so much about. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He defended the Old Testament writings all the way to persecuting Christians. He thought he was defending God, but he was persecuting him. Then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his eyes were opened to truth. He went away to Arabia for the next 3 years. From Arabia, he was taught by Jesus, and then traveled back to Damascus and on to Jerusalem, and we know the rest of his journey as we read in the book of Acts. Mysteries were revealed to him. Jesus is Messiah. Salvation is also for the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, a Pharisee of Pharisees now understood the prophecies coming together. He can see Christ in the Old Testament. His heart was encouraged, and he spent the rest of his life unto death telling of the good news, proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I keep thinking I'm talking to this. Okay. Walking in the Spirit, Paul encouraged many people. He himself always being encouraged also and being refreshed by the Word of God, the power of God, the joy of watching others come to Christ, fellowship and rejoice with him. Do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember that excitement? You didn't have a lot of truth at that point. Some might have, some didn't. But do you remember how you were excited and you would share it with your friends? You know, you would share with coworkers. I remember my conversion. I was so excited about getting to know God more. I shared my joy, which was in my limited knowledge, with all. There were many times, though, that I was also discouraged by different Christians that had different doctrines. But God always brought a mature Christian to clear things up through the scriptures. I have been encouraged by so many brothers and sisters in Christ throughout my walk. So I'm very excited to talk about this topic, the gift of encouragement. None of us are without the need of encouragement in a fallen world. Throughout the hard times of Old Testament living, God encourages the hope of a Savior. That Savior, Jesus Christ, encouraged Paul with truth about him. Full of joy, walking in the Spirit, Paul encouraged others, and other believers continued to encourage one another. Why do we need encouragement? Biblical encouragement helps us affirm what is right, true, good, and acceptable when we veer off in the wrong direction. Our flesh can be weak, even though our mind is willing. In emotional states of temptations, stress, and despair, we can forget about the majesty of God and his promises. But listen to this, ladies. In emotional states of worldly joy and contentment, we can forget about the majesties of God and his promises. We need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded. And like all the gifts that God gives us, we are also blessed with those driven to exhort the body of Christ. Some examples in the Bible are many. If I had to list all the exhortations in the Bible for you to read, I would just hand you the whole Bible to read.
Amen.
Because the whole Bible is a blessing to all of us. So I'm only highlighting a few, even though there are many. And I took it into times of struggles and persecution and great stress. Many of you are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. Some people have it as a plaque on, or picture on their wall, because it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." We know that one very well. I even have it on my wall. But go back and read that whole scripture, because and see how God encouraged them in the time of when they were going into captivity. He gave them direction on how to survive it. And he gave them a guarantee, hope to hold on to. Don't we need that in times of hardships like this? So what did he do in Jeremiah? He gave them direction. He said, build houses, plant gardens, take wives, multiply there, and do not decrease. But something else he said, in the midst of captivity, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. That is so important to understand. He gives them warnings. False prophets among them will come, will rise, and are there, and have been. And then he gives such hope, and he takes you right back, saying that, and after 70 years, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So encouraging. In times of war with Joshua, he said, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. He gives them direction. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't we need to hear that in times of challenges? New Testament, our Lord and Savior, Peter, the book of 1 Peter is a heavy book for many Christians who have been suffering and struggling during a heavy hardship of persecution coming out of Rome. But he uses Christ as an example, and he tells us, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness. How do we get encouraged by truth? Is it to run from the trial? No, it's to go through it with Christ. We are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells in Matthew 11, he tells them, under heavy rules from the Sadducees and Pharisees, we know that they created rules upon rules. He said to come to him weary and heavy laden. Come to him and you will find rest. This is such a beautiful passage when you are feeling weary, to come. But it's not just to read, it's to come and be with Christ. We all know about the one in Matthew 6 about worrying about provisions, but then he tells us God knows. But then he gives us direction, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then that exciting, which I think if anyone would say it, if I had a choice to go back in one Bible time, I want to go walk on the road to Emmaus with Jesus and those guys. And I want to hear Jesus talk about, explaining, beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, he explained to them things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And then what did they say? They said, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Our hearts need to always burn for God's truth.
Amen.
You know? And we never can let go of not talk about the Holy Spirit when it comes to encouragement, helper. Jesus said, I will ask a Father and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. He abides in you and is with you. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. He will guide you into truth. What a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. So those are just a few examples of, you know, encouragement in the Bible that I picked out. But I wanted to go ahead and move us into Romans 12, where Paul is encouraging us to encourage. And we know this because this is where it lists the gift of exhortation. But at the beginning of 12:1, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you." This is the Greek word parakaleo. This is a verb, and it's saying, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God." So in these first few verses, Paul is urging and encouraging you to serve God properly, God's cause, his purpose, his kingdom, his work, with an attitude of humility, not your goals, not your desires, but God's goals and desires for his glory. Then when you get to the second half in there, Paul goes on and he talks about we are all essential to the body of Christ. You've all been hearing this throughout the whole session as we've been teaching about the gifts. "Therefore, exercise your gifts accordingly." It's a call for action. And then in verse 8, he says, "And he who exhorts," the same word for urge, it's the exact one, parakaleo, in his exhortation. So what does exhortation mean? It's a speaking gift. Sorry, ladies, it's not a writing gift. It's not a gift. It's not a quick little card and pass it on. It is a speaking gift. But you'll understand why those who had the gift are very comfortable in exhorting others. Excuse me. So, parakaleo, to call alongside. Kaleo, to call, para, alongside. It's used about 110 times in the New Testament. And this is translated appeal, beg, comfort, encourage, exhort, implore, plead, urge. The noun is translated as comfort, encouragement, exhortation. So what does that look like for us, the gift or exhortation? To effectively call others to grow in Christ by helping them through trials and by challenging them to obey God completely. Other ways of saying it's urging to call to one side, to encourage, to strengthen, to advise, to comfort, challenging God's people to act consistently with God's will, pull them up to living up to God's revelation, John MacArthur says. It being a speaking gift, I think I shared with you ladies one time when I was teaching on the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, it talks about prophecy proclaims the truth, teaching systematizes the truth, but exhortation calls for a right response to the truth. Bartimaeus in Acts 11 said he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Paul in Acts 20, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them, he took his leave and left for Macedonia. So what does it look like for those using this gift? Some of the key words you can see: appeal, beg, urge, implore. You hear this throughout a lot of Paul's writings. You can always see when he says, "Therefore," here comes the exhortation, "therefore." But first, what's going on in the heart of those who exhort? It's a heart that is encouraged by who God is. A strong admiration for God's works. Rejoicing in the Lord and all that he has done, doing, and will do. Encouraged by God himself, his character, love, peace, and hope. We affirm the goodness of God when we are loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then we are driven to exhort others in the same way, loving your neighbor as yourself. Listen to the heart of the psalmist in 119. "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselor. Establish your word in your servant as that which produces reverence for you." We are affirming the greatness of God when we praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. People with this gift are often, you know, teaching, counseling, discipling, and within the church, and you know a lot of them. But there are many with this gift behind the scenes coming alongside others. And I want to say that my heart rejoices every time I talk to a sister in Christ and she says, oh, I had tea with so-and-so. And she really encouraged my heart and she reminded me about what God says about this. So this gift is happening not just where you're seeing the obvious ones, but it's also happening with many of you. And you know who you are and they know who you are. And we are grateful. So what happens? They will offer to look at scriptures together with you for direction when troubled or seeking guidance. They remind you of the greatness of God, of trusting God when you are weary. They will see God's work in you and bless you with acknowledgement, encouragement, and they themselves being encouraged. They will warn you to turn back to pleasing and trusting God when you are wayward. So the gift for exhortation is a person's unique ability to encourage and edify others. This person delights in finding scriptures that apply to a situation and teaching others how to apply to them. Exhorters are among the first to find believers who are floundering in their faith. They come alongside the weaker ones to encourage, confront, and admonish when necessary. Some examples that Paul did, he encouraged believers to know God in Ephesians 1 and in Colossians, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He encouraged us to think of others more than ourselves in Philippians 2. He encouraged older women in Titus 2 to be reverent in your behavior so that you may encourage young women. In Hebrews 3, he exhorted us one another every day. He says, exhort one another every day so that the deceitfulness of sin will not harden your heart. 1 Thessalonians, they were fearful of the day of the Lord, the day of wrath. But Paul told them, for you are all sons of light and sons of day, for God has not destined us for wrath. And then in Corinthians, unity in the body of Christ. Paul tells them, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Examples are all throughout the Bible. So, now that I kind of told you what exhortation is, let's talk a little about what it's not. Okay? It's not about self-esteem. 100 likes on Facebook. It's not about esteeming, it's about esteeming the work of God in the lives of people. Self-esteem is about you. Self-confidence, apart from God, is a sin. It is taking God out of the picture, believing utterly in oneself. Forgetting that any sense of good character is a gift given to us for the glory of God. James 1:17-18, every good thing given and every perfect gift above is from a Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. It's not about the approval of men. 10,000 likes on Facebook. It's about the approval of God. Amen. Every one of us should desire to say, for God, to hear from God, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not about praise with an alternative motive. Sometimes we want to affirm before we correct, but if it becomes a habit, the affirmation gets pushed to the side because the person's waiting for the correction. Exaggeration. Praise is not, you know, should not be exaggerated. It turns into falsehood if you exaggerate. So praise should be truthful.
Amen.
Yeah. Exclusive to Bible scholars, teachers, and pastors is not exclusive to Bible scholars, teachers, and pastors. We are all encouraged throughout our life. While those with the gift display a higher measure of faith in exhorting others, it does not exclude us. Pastors exhort. 1 Timothy says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Those who counsel and disciple exhort. Flock group leaders exhort. The others are all of us. When a pastor is given a sermon, does he know who needs it personally? How many people can a counselor handle at a time? Can they handle 450 people? Can they even handle 50? So what does that do? That leaves the rest for all of us, and rightly so. Though we have the gift of exhortation, we know that we are all called to give mercy. We are all called to help. We are all called to exhort one another. So we are all called to encourage one another, regardless of our primary gifts. All Christians should desire to become better at exhortation, to build up those who are weaker, encourage those who lead, and strengthen the body of Christ. Hebrews 3, take care, brethren, that there be no one, there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. 1 Thessalonians 5, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. He didn't say we urge you, pastors. We urge you, brethren, that's all believers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Ephesians 4 tells us that we are, that through the word of God, we are to build up one another. So as Christians, we are called to develop close relationships, walking beside one another, strengthening each other in faith, and encouraging and continue spiritual growth. Christian exhortation carries the idea of stirring or motivating fellow believers to action. And that is Romans 12, 1 through 2. One of the primary ways we can exhort one another daily is through real life, one-on-one involvement in each other's lives. Carol's example of hospitality puts them in the position to be involved with many people's lives, and them to be involved with their lives. The book of Hebrews, the author writes, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing so, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We can exhort one another daily. We cannot exhort one another daily if we aren't in daily fellowship with other believers. Exercising your gift in the body of Christ extends to your home, your marriages, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. Sam Crabtree, in the book he wrote, Practicing Affirmation, he says, if you have the gift of helps, mercy, giving, exhorting, shouldn't the people close to you know that? Should I pause for a moment on that one? Yeah. A Christ-centered relationship is nourished by affirmation. Our words hold tremendous power both to destroy and to restore lives. Paul cautions us to speak only what we will build up and benefit others. Do not let any unwholesome word, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That is, it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So, encouraging others starts with your view of God, doesn't it? The character and work of God. Seeing God's work in others. I think I left Psalms 146 on your paper. I'm not sure if I did, but it's just, Psalms are full of ways that people are writing their encouragement about God. So, I ask you questions. Are you encouraged by the work of God in your life and others' lives? Are you encouraged by God's power, character, His love, peace, and hope? Proverbs 31, woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. Do you see the good things that God is doing in others? It doesn't have to be perfect, but we can commend God for moving them in a good direction. So, therefore, ladies, speak up. Encourage those who encourage you as you watch their walk with God. Our pastors need your encouragement always. Use the word of God to bring others out of sin into righteousness. Comfort one who is in trouble and sorrow. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God. Our God is a God of victory. Sorrow will be turned away into joy. Encourage the weak to be strong. Trust the Lord. Walk by faith. Walk with them. Be strong in the Lord. The power of His might. God is the victor. Come alongside the faint-hearted, the weary. God is the one who leads. God is the one who wins. No enemy is greater than God. God is our source of strength, our refuge in a time of trouble. So I leave you again with Christ's great commandment. And as you can see, his great commandment filters through all the gifts. Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So ladies, may you be stirred by the love, by your love for God to encourage others. And may you be encouraged by others. Thank you.